Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
No puede cruzar. Valverde. Y puede ser la segunda de Carvajal.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown, our regular weekly podcast here reviewing the weekend's matches. First of all, I'd just like to say apologies for the absence of a midweek pod last week due to technical difficulties. We couldn't actually get one recorded in time for release, but that should not be a problem for the rest of the season, hopefully. Welcome along. Paco Pollitt joins me tonight. How are you, Paco?
Very well, with plenty of things to say about this match day where the top of the league missed a bit on the road to winning this year's edition of La Liga. I don't think many people expected Real Madrid stumbling over at Vallecas, but they actually did. Barca suffered a lot to win their game against Celta, once again surrounded in controversy, and a couple of overall disappointments. I expected much more from, for example, that Valencia-Sevilla game or that Villarreal-Getafe game. I expected real football champagne and I didn't get it. So I'm a bit sad about that.
Ah, yeah. Quite a few draws this weekend, it's fair to say. But we'll talk about the biggest win of the weekend in just a moment. But we will start at Vallecas because last week, Ben and me were talking about Real Madrid's demolition of Girona and saying, well, that's pretty much the title race done. As it is, Madrid have stumbled at Vallecas in Íñigo Pérez's first game following Francisco's sacking last week. So he has been promoted into the job. He was Iraola's assistant last season, has played under the Bielsa Athletic Club, and he now has the reins at Vallecas. There were big protests by the Rayo fans about the stadium potentially being changed, and there were calls again for Presa to go. We'll touch on that perhaps in a moment, but on the game itself, Real Madrid into the lead early through Joselu. They were pegged back by a Raúl de Tomás penalty and then couldn't find a way to restore their advantage and then lost another defender, this time to a red card, Dani Carvajal getting two yellows in stoppage time. Paco, is there league?
Well, if you actually see the standings, you might say that there might be a league over there in some place. But I really think that Real Madrid have settled that, not today, not this weekend, where they did lose 2 points at their visit on the road to Vallecas, but many, many weeks ago. I think that winning their head-to-heads against Barca, Girona twice, I think that settles, the record straight for Real Madrid winning this edition of La Liga. I think that even though their advantage might be shaved to some extent in the following weeks, as they are obviously going to focus a bit on their Champions League aims and goals and dreams, stumbles like this might happen when you have such a, a comfortable lead over the rest of the teams chasing them. So yeah, even though Raúl de Tomás was able to convert that penalty after the handball inside Real Madrid's box, I think that overall the feeling is that they weren't really pressing the pedal really hard. You know, I think that they had plenty of energy still left in the tank, but at this point, I think Ancelotti is trying to reserve and conserve and keep at as much energy as possible inside of his squad, so it can be used whenever they really need it. And I think that will eventually come over in the Champions League. So yeah, not the best game. Carvajal, just now watching once again the recap of the game and the review, I think he really just lost his mind. Yeah, because the hit on Rayo Vallecano's player on the face isn't with his elbow, but with his head, which is very unnatural, you know. And that's what the referee actually did see when he, you know, sent him off. So, yeah, big miss for Ancelotti regarding next game. And, yeah, I think that Carvajal should really calm down a bit and cool off a bit, because you just can't do things like that inside a football ground.
Well, you said it's been a good few weeks for them. They have gone 6 points clear. Girona do have that game in hand. They are at San Mamés on Monday night, so a very big if, but if they were to win there, that would put the gap back to just 3 points. And then again, we can perhaps talk about Girona doing the impossible. But overall, a good week for Madrid, backing up that win over Girona with the win in the Champions League away from home with that Brahim Diaz golazo in midweek. As for their opposite neighbours, they warmed up for their own Champions League match with an absolute thumping of Las Palmas. Given that they were resting Griezmann, given that Morata was injured, given that they started Marcos Llorente up front, this was a really surprisingly comfortable victory for Diego Simeone's men. And a fun fact here, Las Palmas conceded 20% of all their league goals this season in this one game.
Yeah.
That's how solid they had been until this game. It was such a bizarre result.
Yeah, I was very surprised. But again, I think Las Palmas have really shown that they have two faces. One when they play at home, you know, surrounded by their own people. And, you know, Valencia fell to their might last match day. But whenever they go on the road, obviously their performance isn't the same. And I think Atletico had things very, very easy since the get-go with that Marcos Llorente opener in the 15th minute. I think that from that point onward, it went downhill for them and very uphill for Las Palmas. And yeah, Atletico, obviously, they were very ambitious. They were pressuring very high against the opposition. I don't know, Las Palmas were never comfortable. And whenever you are 2-0 down in the 20th minute, you know that you are in for a spanking. I think that we should highlight definitely Llorente for his game. Obviously, Ángel Correa once again, because I think that's some kind of player which Cholo Simeone can always rely on him, both in the way he pressures, in the way he plays, in the way he delivers, in the way he never complains when he starts on the bench, and he got 2 goals. I think that many Atletico fans are very, very happy for you know, Correa whenever they see him thriving. He's a fan favorite, definitely, and Memphis Depay was the one in charge of finishing the game with a great finish, by the way. I thought that he had left the ball behind with his first one-touch control, but he was able to course correct, and his finish was magnificent to score the fifth. So as you said, I think Las Palmas were just out of their depth in this game. And after seizing an amazing win the preceding week against Valencia at home, they fell prey to a very comfortable and very confident Atletico Madrid. Nothing to say really about this, you know, astounding win for Los Colchoneros.
Well, it was almost a perfect practice because they faced a team who had a really good defensive record in the league, and they're now going to head to San Siro in the Champions League for this massive game against Inter. And the side from Milan have only conceded 12 goals in 24 league games, as they are 9 points clear at the top of Serie A with a game in hand over Juventus. So Inter are absolutely flying, especially in 2024. So Atleti are going to have a real job on to get a positive result in that game, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's one of the toughest teams nowadays in the European continent. I think that Atletico are going to have a very hard time against them. Because in many ways they are very, very similar. You know, both Inter and Atletico have many common traits in a way. If you see Inter's current form, obviously they won this weekend against Salernitana very easily. They did win last week against Roma 4-2 on the road. They beat Juventus. They beat Fiorentina. Their current form has been absolutely magnificent. And you have to go as far as 2023 to see one game that they didn't win, and you have to go to a Coppa Italia game in their home competition to see them lose a single game, because their results, at least in La Liga, has been immaculate. And I was just checking out the last time that they did lose in Serie A. And I think that we have to go back to the beginning of the season.
Yeah, September.
September 27th against Sassuolo 1-2 at home. Since then, you know, Inter have been an absolute, you know, bulldozer-like team, crushing the opposition, and Atletico are going to have to fight very, very hard if they really want to, you know, knock out them and move on to the next round.
Going to be a fascinating watch on Tuesday night. Let's talk about Barca then, because they're the other La Liga side in action in midweek in the Champions League. But this weekend, they faced Celta at Balaidos. This had pretty much all the classics of this season. I mean, Iago Aspas scored against Barca, tick. Rafa Benitez unhappy with the referee, tick.
Tick.
Barcelona made to suffer, tick. Xavi looking at the camera and making a weird expression, tick. and some controversy thrown into the mix as well with the penalty and the retake. Paco, what a crazy game this was.
Yeah, I have to start by that last you know, assessment. I definitely understand both Rafa Benitez and Celta fans. I think that the goalkeepers have it very tough, you know.
Yeah.
From the get-go, when that rule was changed already a few years ago, where they can only, you know, move horizontally through the line goal and or goal line, sorry, and they just can't move before the taker takes the penalty. I think that already makes things very difficult for goalkeepers. But if you have to also take into consideration that the taker might do a paradinha and stop on his tracks and retake it, and the referee allows that, you know, the goalkeeper has 0% chances of stopping the shot. That on one hand, because we've seen, though it happens very, 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 very little, it should happen more. We've seen that takers who do actually do perform the paradinha, if you follow the rules by the book, they should see a yellow. They should get booked, and the ball should be, you know, given possession to the defending side.
Yeah.
And the penalty shouldn't be allowed. If you go by the book, that should happen. I think Lewandowski really stopped 100% on his tracks. Mm. But the referee didn't consider that. Okay, fair enough. But in the second time that he took the penalty, there was a single Barca player going inside the box, and he didn't see that. So I definitely understand Celta fans, because they see how, first up, you know, they have a penalty against them in the 93rd minute. Then Guaita stops the saves the penalty, and there, it is retaken, and Barca scores it in an illegal way because a Barca player went set foot inside the box. You know, they might think, arguably with plenty of reasoning behind that, that it seemed that Barca had to win this game, yes or yes. And unfortunately for Celta, they're in such a position that they just can't suffer this kind of referee calls, because they are in anguish. Mm. They are in such a delicate state that every single blow that they suffer in this sense with referees and so on is massive on them. Very, very hurtful on them. So, yeah, leaving that aside, I think that Barca didn't play well once again, and that, yeah, Iago Aspas scoring was a nice touch. It was a very, very balanced game overall. Definitely you couldn't see, you know, Barca being, you know, third or fourth in the standings at, and Celta being exactly the opposite, but on the other side, or on the bottom half of the standings. You know, it was a very, very balanced game. I think that Celta did enough to deserve at least one point.
Yeah.
But once again, you know, little details punish them and favored Barca.
Indeed, Celta just 3 points above the drop zone. But in a way, that's a safer position than it does sound, because we'll get onto the bottom three in a moment and how continually poor they are. As for Barca, again, 3 points is 3 points. As it stands, they're only two off Girona. But again, questions about Xavi, the way the team is playing, the reliance on Lamine Yamal to do anything productive in the final third. This Napoli tie is going to be critical, because if Barca somehow don't come through that, you almost get the sense Xavi will go before the end of the season, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, they are facing the exact same opposite form than Atletico. Atletico are facing Inter, who are, or at least seem mighty at this point, but Napoli have been falling free for the last month. in an unexpected way. They drew last weekend against Genoa. They lost against Milan last week. They won straight by against Hellas Verona. They drew against Lazio on the road. They lost against Inter in the final of the Italian Super Cup. Their last month hasn't really been that impressive. With only that win against Fiorentina 3-0 mid-January to boast about. So I think that both teams are in trouble to some extent. I think that Barca's one is a bit more deeper than Napoli's. And overall, I see that's a very, very balanced draw overall, a very balanced series of games that we're going to behold in the following weeks, because with their own set of problems, these two teams also have their own character and their own way of playing and their own play style, and that is going to clash in some way. And I don't really know at this point who of them is going to, you know, be victorious in this face-to-face, because Napoli are much more vertical side with Kvaratskhelia and so on. Barca are finding it very tough to score whenever Lamine Yamal isn't there, even though Lewandowski scored this weekend, but it hasn't been really his best season. And, you know, last year Barca were very, very reliable at the back. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. It's not further the case. And with Itzi, for example, Ter Stegen being very, very angry out of his mind in the game against Celta. So, yeah, plenty of problems for both sides and plenty of neediness for both of them. As you said, I think that if Barca are unable to beat Napoli into submission and move on to the following round, I think it's lights out for Xavi even before than he wanted to, that it's on June 30th.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will find out. We will find out as the course of that tie takes place.
Vamos a ver.
Vence, pero no convence. Yeah. Right, we'll take a break there. When we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the games from this weekend. Only a couple more wins to talk about. The rest were all draws. So join us to discuss all of that. See you soon.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Entrando Lenormand, va entrando Merino. ¡Gol! ¡Miquel! ¡Gol! De la Real Sociedad, Miquel Merino. Especialidad del 8. Especialidad del Navarro.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown, our match day 25 recap. I'm here with Paco Pollitt to discuss the rest of the weekend's fixtures. Where should we go now, Paco? I think we'll go to Mallorca and their clash with Real Sociedad in a repeat of the Copa del Rey semi-final first leg, which of course finished 0-0. This one did have goals and it did have late drama. Mallorca took the lead early, but Real Sociedad were able to equalise through former Mallorca player Take Kubo. And then there was a 93rd minute winner from Mikel Merino to anger Vasco Aguirre.
Yeah, once again, it's you know, very unfortunate for Vasco Aguirre. We didn't speak about the, you know, the red cards and drama, late drama, so on. But if you actually see the game, Real Sociedad deserved the win, okay? Because ultimately, we're talking about Antonio Sanchez scoring very early in the game in the only shot on target that Mallorca had. So, yeah, if you really want something more, you have to do something more. And Mallorca just scored and tried to park the bus in front of their goal. It didn't work out because, unfortunately for them, Real Sociedad are slowly coming back. Even though there are bumps on the road, even though we did see the other day Imanol Alguacil being not very happy with some of his players. But yeah, as you said, Take Kubo, who didn't celebrate the goal that he scored late in the first half, being able to level the game. I think that is, you know, just a class act from him with that cross where he finished and leveled the game before the halftime. And later, you know, once the second half was going on, González Fuertes was, you know, he didn't doubt about sending Raillo to the locker room. And later, with, you know, that kind of advantage, Real Sociedad, it was clear that they were going to have many chances. That is exactly what happened. But, you know, with 10 minutes to go, with Rajkovic being massive under the sticks, I was doubtful that they were going to be able to win the game. But ultimately, they were able to do that with that excellent, you know, move by Real Sociedad, you know, pressing forward, trying to cross many balls inside the box. And finally, in that 93rd minute, it was the time for Mikel Merino to score the winner. So, yeah, 20 shots overall, 5 shots on target for Real Sociedad. Not as much as I believed. I was just checking out, but yeah, 70% of ball possession. They dominated the game. They deserved the win. But again, you know, you feel for El Vasco Aguirre because he just doesn't have that kind of quality in his squad. And he tries to get the most out of what he has. And tonight he was very, very close to doing exactly that.
They're not in the immediate danger, but they are kind of in that zone where you'd say, yeah, they need to do some more work. But it was a good weekend for La Real following their disappointing defeat in Paris. They obviously won this game and all of their rivals around them failed to win. So a pretty decent weekend for Imanol's side. Let's go to a side that we thought were maybe in trouble, but now appear to be well clear of danger. That is Osasuna. And once again, it was Ante Budimir with a brace to see off hapless Cadiz. Yeah, you can talk about this either way, Paco. Osasuna being safe now or Cadiz being pretty doomed.
Well, I'd say that Osasuna are on their way to, if not repeating the amazing feat that they did or they were able to pull off last season, definitely they are going to be very, very relaxed in the final 10 games if they continue this streak of results, especially whenever playing at home. You know, the last two wins have really settled things over there, over at El Sadar, and once again, Ante Budimir becoming, you know, the massive player that he has to be for his team, because they don't really have anything else. After Chimi Avila leaving mid-season, I think that, you know, every Osasunista realizes that most of their chances of having a relaxed end of season and even thinking about something further rely on Ante Budimir scoring a big number of goals from now till the end of May. So, yeah, the first half was a very, I don't know if the word is pesky, you know, it was very, we had micro stories inside the game. We had 10 minutes periods where one dominated, the following 10 minute period was for the opposition, but overall it was very, very balanced. But once again, Cadiz really felt the lack of firepower in front, and that is the main issue that El Flaco Pellegrino is facing in his first few weeks over as the new Cadista manager. And in the second half, when Ante Budimir was able to just open the can and score the first one, it was lights out for Cadiz, who really didn't have enough chances or enough tools to generate danger to Osasuna. And, you know, the home side just thrive on that and try to press forward more. And finally, Budimir got his brace in the last few seconds of the game. Overall, massive win for Osasuna. Every single win that they get at home is going to be massive for them. And, yeah, unfortunately for Cadiz, it seems that if they don't change pace, especially when playing at Nuevo Mirandilla, which is going to be definitely also a very big challenge, because most of the teams who come over there have better squads than them, have more quality than them, have a deeper bench than them. If they are just unable to capitalize on the, you know, support of their fans, I think that alongside Almeria, it's possibly the most doomed side right now and till the end of May in La Liga.
Yeah, they haven't scored in over a month. They've gone 5 games without a goal, really out of form and staring down the barrel. They are only 3 points adrift, so there is theoretically still quite a bit of hope if they can just get a win or two, but to drag the others back in. But at the moment, it is looking pretty hopeless for them. But below them, we had a head-to-head, Granada taking on Almeria in what was a pretty much win-or-bust game. And of course, as these games often are, it ended in a draw. Almeria taking the lead, and everyone was thinking, maybe this is the day they do finally get the win. Mark Pubil with his first goal of the season to give them the lead, and it took Granada until the 75th minute to get level. They had a few chances to win the game, but ultimately it was a draw, which neither side was happy with. Granada 6 points off and Almeria 6 points further back. So Almeria, you can, you know, put a fork in them, as the saying goes,
yeah.
And probably Granada too.
And again, I'm going to repeat myself because I've said that plenty of times this season. I think that Almeria should have more points based on their squad. Mm. In my view, they definitely don't have the worst squad in La Liga. But, you know, things are just going south since the beginning of the season. I have to praise definitely Marc Pubill's goal. I think it was beautiful, one of the best of the weekend. Obviously a home ground fellow Valencian player. He used to play for Levante's academy back in the day and for Levante, the first squad, before signing for Almeria last summer. There was also some controversy with that Edgar disallowed goal. If Almeria were 2-0 up, I think that things would have been much different. And they did have many chances, especially in the first half, of killing the game. But they didn't take advantage of that. So, yeah, overall, you know, in the second half, Granada improved quite a lot. And once again, Uthuni, you know, man of the season last year in Segunda División, was the one in charge of leveling the game. And as you said, whenever you have a win or bust game between teams that are bottom of the standings, things tend to go, you know, just on the draw side of things, because they are just too afraid of winning. And whenever the 75th minute, 80th minute comes around, you are very afraid of losing what you have. So that's exactly what happened between these two.
Yeah, it was a much better game in the first half of the season when Almeria were 3-0 up before getting pegged back to 3-3. That was probably the better of the two draws between these sides. Anyway, Friday night, we'll go back to Friday. Villarreal taking on Getafe, two former Valencia managers, head-to-head, Paco. This was also a draw. Maximovic with the opener for Getafe, Alberto Moreno with the second half equaliser. But you were quite disappointed with this game.
Yeah, I expected a bit more from both sides. I expected more football flair by Villarreal, because ultimately they were playing at home and that should, you know, be useful, at least to some extent. And they didn't. And I expected more from Esto es Fútbol, Papa Bordalás, and, you know, a bit more of shithousery coming from him, especially as they got on top in the first half with that Maximovic strike. So I was a bit disappointed. Villarreal dominated, obviously, and it had to be a left-back, Alberto Moreno, the one in charge of taking advantage of a loose ball inside the box and finishing with finesse with that left foot. That strike allowed Villarreal to level the game. I don't really know what is going on with Villarreal, because you see their games, you follow their games, you know the man in charge, you know Marcelino, at least in my case, you know plenty of things about his coaching techniques. You know personally most of his staff. You know how they work every single day. And Villarreal should be getting better results. But ultimately, they fail to really, put the nail on the coffin on the opposition every single game. They always leave the enemy with... they always leave the prey alive. And that allows, you know, the opposite teams to really scrape some points away from Villarreal, who have been in a very negative streak of results, because they drew against Getafe, against Alaves, against Cádiz. They beat Barça. Obviously, that improves things quite a lot. But they drew again at home against Mallorca. They lost against Las Palmas. They lost against Valencia. They beat Celta de Vigo, which are one of the bottom sides. So, plenty of draws. Too many, at least for Marcelino States. So, you have to check out the following games. They face Real Sociedad next week. They face Granada in 2 weeks. They should at least pick up the win against Granada if they don't want to feel the heat. Not from the relegation spots, because I really think that the bottom three are going to be ultimately the bottom three at the end of the season. It would be very surprising for that to change. But Villarreal should be eyeing to improve at least as much as climbing up to 10th, 9th, and be able to eye, to some extent, European spots. Because of their squad, because of their budget, because of their manager, because of the club that they are. If they don't, they will be failing this season, regardless of, you know, escaping the relegation heat. So, yeah, that. Speaking about Villarreal, speaking about Getafe, things are going great for them, because in their case, avoiding relegation was the, you know, their main goal of the season. And if you see their streak of games, they beat Celta, they were able to, they have been able to draw very difficult games on the road against Villarreal, against Betis. I don't know, they were competing against Osasuna, they lost 3-2, but regardless, they did well. They beat Granada, they beat Celta at home. So yeah, the following game is going to be tough, because it's never easy to go to, in this case, the Montjuic Stadium to face Barca. But in 2 weeks, they're facing at home Las Palmas. And that should be an easy win for them. So once again, because of Las Palmas' form on the road and Getafe's form whenever they play at home. So yeah, seeing Getafe at this point 10th on the standings and only 6 points away from European spots is, in my view, maybe as miraculous as what, for example, Baraja is doing over in Valencia.
Interesting. Well, two more games to mention before we have to wrap up. And they were both 0-0 draws involving sides from Sevilla. We had Valencia 0, Sevilla 0. That was 4 games unbeaten for Sevilla now as they start to climb towards safety. 2 clean sheets in the row for them as well. And as for Betis Alaves, Betis are struggling for goals themselves after losing 1-0 against Dinamo Zagreb. They now have to go to Croatia to try and overturn that result. Couldn't score against Alaves here. Great save from Sivera, keeping it 0-0. Alaves, by the way, have only lost 1 in 5. So they're 1 in 7. So they're in a real good form as well.
Yeah, again, plenty of draws for Luis García's men. But I think that he's pretty happy about the, you know, development of the season and the way his team has been performing. 11 points clear of danger, so that is massive for Alaves. Remember, they promoted last summer. And regarding Betis, I don't know. They won 2, they drew 2 out of the last 4. That should be fine for 90% of fan bases, but I think that Betis fans and Beticistas are a bit more, you know, are a bit more aggressive in that sense and are a bit more ambitious. And that's why, you know, plenty of changes this year. Pellegrini doesn't really seem to be having the same level of, I said the word earlier, finesse with his squad. This year they are suffering also in European competition. So overall, not the best year for Betis, who are only 1 point away from Real Sociedad. But
were overtaken this weekend, weren't they?
Yeah, they were overtaken, and they are 12 points away from the Champions League. I think that you know, the top four more or less are going to remain that way, and most of the fun, I think Athletic Club is also going to finish fifth, so most of the fun at this point is going to be regarding who is squeezing into sixth and playing the Conference League this season. You have Real Sociedad, Betis, Valencia, Las Palmas, Getafe, even Osasuna, who should have a shot to some extent of squeezing into that spot. And regarding the 0-0 between Valencia and Sevilla, the bottom line is that Quique Sánchez Flores, who is, you know, from his heart, a real Valencianista, he has been his whole life, he has never won when he came to Mestalla as a manager, not coaching Valencia, obviously, in the last 10 years or so, and it showed, because it was some sort of, you know, the game plan was just parking the bus and making sure that nothing really happened on the game. Kike aimed for 1 point, and he did get his point. So happiness abound for Sevilla, whereas for Valencia, once again, had a shot of really, you know, nailing that streak of results at home and being able to claw away and become closer to Betis and to Real Sociedad, but unfortunately they didn't take advantage of the chance. 36 points, 99% of the way to salvation already, you know, followed and done, and they only need one single win to just, you know, tie the knot on this salvation process.
Yeah, fear not. They're not in trouble this year, Paco, don't worry. Just again on Betis, only 4 defeats in the league, which is 2 less than Atletico, 2 fewer than Atletico. But 12 draws, and that's what's really costing them in their race for the Champions League. So yeah, looks like for them a Europa League spot at best. And again, they'll try and overturn that Dinamo Zagreb result on Thursday. Well, that's pretty much all we have time for, Paco. Thank you very much for your thoughts, as always. We have Champions League coming up this midweek, as we say. Atleti in Milan to face Inter, and Barca taking on Napoli before Betis in Croatia taking on Dinamo Zagreb, as we say. So we'll be back in midweek to review all of that, but until then, Paco, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and remember, guys, that you will have, if we have no problems this week, a midweek special episode for subscribers, so make sure to subscribe to our Substack. It's only £5 a month, and you are going to do yourselves a big favor.
Definitely. What Paco said, I endorse that message in full. So thank you very much, listeners. Enjoy the midweek, enjoy the Champions League matches, should be real fun to watch. And we'll speak to you again soon. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.